wonderful thing that we can all come closer to the Lord. In order for us to come closer to Jesus, there are certain, what shall I say, certain things we have to observe. What is His will for me? What is the thing God came to accomplish here in this world? We must seek the Lord according in the way, it says, of His commandments. What does God want? I can't seek to know Jesus and get to know Him so that I can do my own thing, so that I can boast of my knowledge of God. But to fit into the plan of God is one of the things. I ought to find out what He's doing and what He wants me to do, where I fit in, and that's where I'll find Him, as I find my place in the kingdom of God. And we cry to come closer to Jesus because there's a benefit in coming closer to Him. We are blessed as we come closer to Him. There is power, the power of God, the life of God, the blessing of the Lord, the anointing of the Spirit. All of these wonderful privileges are ours as we live close to Him. And it's very easy for us then to try to become quite independent and want to be used of God and show off what we are and who we are as sons of God. Some of you have heard that kind of teaching, and you know it is so necessary for us to get down. To get down as we come closer to Jesus. Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." We have some tapes at home. I haven't heard them myself from Brother Betchell, who was teaching in Kirchheim months ago, and they sent us a series of the tapes they took at that time. My wife has been listening to them, and he said in one place, she was just telling me, if you feel that you don't fit in, you feel frustrated, you feel as though you just don't, things don't just seem to go right, you ought to slip your head into the yoke. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. If you can't fit in somehow, it's because you're not under His yoke, under His authority. You haven't given your life to Him. But Jesus promises, as we do come to Him, and let Him show us His will, and let Him reign in us, that we'll find rest unto our souls. My, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And still you find people who all their lives, they can go through life and never really become yoke fellows of the Lord. They don't want to come under His authority and His control. But I'm thankful for God's way. I was reading today about a man in the Bible who, was a young fellow and wanted to be a prophet, and his name is Gehazi. Some of you know about him. He was the servant of Elisha, and he must have had quite a good opinion of himself. After all, he had been chosen, and he had been chosen to stand with his master before the Lord and see the great miracles that God wrought through Elisha. And I suppose Gehazi thought, boy, this is great. This is wonderful. Elisha, my master, followed Elijah, that great prophet. And he just served him, and before long, his master was taken to heaven. And then the Lord's power, a twofold portion of God's Spirit, came upon him, and he is really being mightily used of God. and I'm the next. I'm next in line. Yes, sir. He got it. Elisha got the power of God through his association with Elijah and his faithfulness to him, and God's Spirit came upon him, and now I'm going to be the next one. But you know, it doesn't seem that he had the goods. He didn't have the humility about him. He didn't have the ability to come down. He wanted to be big. He wanted to be used. Apparently, he had some good points about him, perhaps. But he thought, here, I'm the prophet's servant. I was reading about the Shunammite woman who came when her son died. She came to Elisha, and as they were on the mountain watching the roadway, and they saw this woman coming with her servants and her donkey she's riding on, and they're riding as fast as they can in real haste, and the man of God saw her afar off, and he said to Gehazi, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. When she came to the man of God on the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. The Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? You know the story, how she had received a child because of her favor to Elisha, her kindness to the prophet. He had prayed for her, and a son had been born, and now he had died of a sunstroke, apparently. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. The mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her, and Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. When Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon a bed. And he went in, therefore, and he shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. He went up and lay on the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands, and stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. And she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went away. It seems here when you read the story, and if you read the rest of the story, you find that this man, Gehazi, had things about him that were not very commendable. He was a covetous fellow. He wanted a reward. He wanted to get rich through the blessing of God that was upon him. And that shows already at the beginning. Now here he had the great opportunity of his life, didn't he? My, I'm going to raise this child. I've got my master's staff in my hand. I'm going to go, and he has sent me to go and lay it on the child, and boy, will the people look at me when that kid jumps up and he's well again? Why, he could just count his blessings, you know, and think, I'm getting there pretty fast, boy. This is a real promotion for me and a real opportunity for me to make a name for myself. And alas, he rushes in, takes the staff, lays it on the child. Nothing happens. What a disappointment. Maybe he turned the staff around a little bit, tried again. Maybe another way. And you know, nothing happened. But it's a lesson for us, because I think we can see here how he was a man that wanted to be used of God, and he wanted the power of God. And here something had to be shown to him about his own nature and his own pride of his own heart. And you know, we all need that. As I was reading this today, I was thinking about myself. Experience that I had years ago. We had just bought this church building, and you know, the church had been purchased in just a few weeks' time. We as a church had no money saved up at all in our treasury. We used it all for the missionary work and gave it away and had no money for a building. And suddenly we had to buy a building because our place that we rented was sold and we had to get out. And so we moved, we looked for a place and found this place, and we had to have $40,000 right away. In about 3 weeks' time, $40,000, the people had given that money, it was all here. And we bought the building, and we saw how marvelously God moved. And then after a while, we needed money to fix it up, and God again gave us the opportunity to get the funds. This was a basketball court down here at that time, and this where I'm standing was a little higher. It was a stage, a real, where they had plays and, you know, entertainment for the neighborhood. They'd have the dance on the basketball floor. We found some of the circulars yet that they had when they advertised what a service they were doing to the neighborhood. And we wanted to change this into a meeting room and a prayer room, and it took a lot of work, and most of the work was done by the men of the church, and we, of course, had to get plumbing and heating contractors and electrical men and so on. And we were able to do that and get a loan for that, and everything went so quickly. We saw the hand of God moving so quickly. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, that maybe right around this time was the first meeting my uncle had in Brooklyn in 1925. That's a long time ago, isn't it? 60 years ago, end of April. And my wife tells me she came to America on the 26th of April too, so I told her she'd have to say something tonight. I'll try to give her a chance yet. But it's a great day, you know. And he came and had a meeting here, and the thing seemed to move so well. Everything moved so well. And just at the same time, we wanted to buy a Pilgrim Camp. And we had looked around. We had been renting property on Lake George, and the camp children, it was mostly for children at that time, in fact, only for children. And there we had rented place, and that was inadequate, and we went around to buy property. We went up and looked for a week. We spent real estate men around that lake, and there was no place that had a decent beach. And they were all so very, very expensive on Lake George. And finally, when we were praying one morning, we said, there must be other lakes around here. It doesn't have to be Lake George. And so we went to Warrensburg and asked there, there any camps or any property available for a camp? And a man in Warrensburg told us there are two camps. One is Brant Lake, and the other one is on Friends Lake. And both of them are available, and you can see them. So we went up, and Friends Lake is a little closer, but we found out that you couldn't get in there in the springtime because the road had thawed out and it was just one big mass of mud in spots, and no cars were going in. And so we drove on to Brant Lake and found the campgrounds there, and oh, we saw right away what a wonderful provision God has made for this camp and for this church, that we can have that camp. And you know, we came back here and we decided, I remember how we decided together, we're going to have faith now to buy Pilgrim Camp. We're going to just believe God ourselves. We're not going to bother anybody else, but we are going to band together and we're going to have faith. It seemed so easy, you see. The church had been bought so quickly and the repairs were being taken care of, and it seemed so easy the way God moved. And we young fellows, we thought we're going to do that too. And I just reminded of that today when I read about Gehazi here. He really wanted to have the power of God, and here was his chance to show what he could do. And God let him down. Nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. He had to learn something, didn't he? He didn't know his God. He didn't have faith in his God. You know, you can have an empty form. And if you have a form, no matter how religious it is, if you don't have living faith, it's dead. Nothing will happen. You can lay Elisha's staff on the deadest person, and nothing will happen unless you have a living faith and a living contact with God. And we fellows, we got together, we men, we were gonna believe God. We came back to the church and told them about Brant Lake, and the brethren said, we can't buy Brant Lake. We just bought a church. We can't buy that camp. You know how much that camp cost? Was, I think at that time, was $18,000. Now that property is probably worth $250,000 to $300,000 today. It has really tremendously increased in value. But right after the war, most of the lake on the other side was empty. No places in there at all, hardly. A few camps, but empty. Lots of property to be had. And here we came, and the church said no. So we said, well, praise the Lord, we'll go ahead anyway. We'll buy the camp. We'll form our own corporation. If the church won't do it, why, we feel God wants us to do this thing. And so I remember how we banded together and we prayed that God would give us $18,000. You know how far we got? About $2,000. We weren't going to bother Uncle Hans. You know, we were going to believe God. Boy, do you know we had to go to Uncle Hans? Closing day came. The money had to be put on the line or you lost your deposit. And oh, I never forget those days or that day. We had to fall back on him. Well, somehow or other, he was able, by the help of the Lord, to come up with the money that was needed. But I saw something today. I thought, my, wasn't that kind of the Lord? Wouldn't we have felt like big shots if we had been able to come up with plenty of money to buy that camp without the Uncle Hans and without the church here and just go ahead, you know, believing God? God saw that. He saw our hearts. He knew we meant it well. But you know, there's always a danger of trying to be successful, trying to be somebody. And the Lord seemed to just give us the greatest and the nicest letting down. Never forgot it. Never will forget it. You know, but I saw today, what, how would it have turned out with my own heart and Pilgrim Camp and all of this work if we had been able in ourselves without getting down, depending on the church here, the will of God, the purpose of God, upon my uncle who was leading the work at that time under God. I think there would have been a great danger to rise up and act independently and think we can do it too. We are able. You know, God has to show us that we're not able. He has to show us that He alone is able. And sometimes there is within us a pride of heart, and we want to be used of God. We want to do great things for God. We read Hudson Taylor's statement, attempt great things and do great things and make, real steps of faith. And we feel as though all you have to do now is just agree with that and you're okay. But God has something better for us. He wants to show us, first of all, His ways. What are God's ways? What did God have in mind? Oh, we had to learn some things, and we learned them, I think, from my uncle, better to get down, first of all, to learn humility, to learn to get your head into the yoke of Christ. We don't like to obey, naturally speaking. We think we can become great saints without obedience. Never works. Oh, the most wonderful thing that you can do, brother and sister, is to learn to obey Jesus Christ and get down at His feet and let Him be Lord. That's worth a lot more to Him than we know. And the world is full of people today and full of churches and full of folks that are wanting to be something and do something great for God who have never learned to get down and obey the Lord. And you know they go astray. And it brings reproach upon the things of God and the work of Christ. But isn't it nice that He calls us, that He loves us, and that He's willing to teach us, He's willing to show us His will and use us for His glory if we'll get down at His feet and say, Jesus, show me Your ways. I don't think that we perhaps had learned some lessons that we needed to know. God knew that. But you know, God has a purpose, and He had a purpose over this whole work that was begun there 60 years ago when He sent my uncle to New York, and he started on Patchen Avenue above a garage there in a little German church. God had a plan. He had something in mind. He wanted Jesus to be glorified and manifested among His people. And He wanted to get a hold of our hearts and live within us and make us to know Jesus Christ reigning within, being our Lord and Master, being in charge of the church and being in charge of everything that pertains to the church. We are His church. We, the people of God, we're just a little branch of it here tonight, but He is head over all things to His church, and to come under Him and to learn of Him is a great, great lesson. And you know, I believe the Lord just wanted to help us at that time, and He let me down. I still remember how I felt. I thought, oh God, how You let the wind out of the air out of my balloon. Oh boy. Oh my. But you know, the great thing God was after, and the purpose of God still today, is that we get to know Jesus Christ Himself, and that we let Jesus reign in us. Let Him be Lord. Let Him cleanse us thoroughly. That Word of God is given unto us to really cut, and not for the preacher to swing a sword that cuts everybody's heads off, but he's got to cut it right in here first, you know? And oh, I tremble sometimes when I think of the call of God and the purpose of God to take the Word of God into my own heart, first of all, and say, oh God, cleanse me, purify me, You search me, oh God. And God searches us through His Word. And I see more and more how slow we are to recognize that the Bible is truly the Word of Almighty God, and that God means what He says. We like to sing about the coming of the Lord. We talked about His coming last Sunday in the German meeting and in the English meeting, how we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. But we're looking for the day when we shall be like him. And you know, all through this week, I've been thinking of that blessed hope. Does that hope really grip my heart? I began to search my own heart. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. And I got to thinking, am I really, honestly purifying myself? As he is pure, we're satisfied when we look okay to other people round about us. Oh, we look pretty good. But that will never satisfy the heart of God. He's got a deeper work to do. And he wants to make me pleasing in his sight. And I need to get into his presence. And I need to get still in his presence. And I need to recognize that he is Lord and that he is present, as we heard tonight at the beginning of this meeting. Jesus Christ comes to walk among his people, and if I want to be cleansed, he'll cleanse me. If I really want to be changed, if I really desire his word to speak to my heart, he'll speak to me. But you know, we can go through the forms, and we can go to meetings, and we can get used to the word of God, and we think we know the word of God because we can grasp it in our minds, and we have our minds filled with scriptures. That's possible. And many people are satisfied there. But that word of God must come into my soul as it is the word of God and cleanse me. Jesus said to his disciples, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is the truth. Oh, I need that word to search me out. I need that word to search my heart. I need to pray, my God, cleanse me, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. My own heart will deceive me. And I'm so thankful today, thinking about these things and saying, Lord, I'm glad. I'm glad you put the brakes on us there when we wanted to buy Pilgrim Camp and we young fellows were going to go right ahead and believe God and go ahead. My, wouldn't we have gotten inflated? Wouldn't we have had some story to tell, you know? We did it. And God never allowed it. But we needed to learn to get down. And we needed the ministry of my uncle, you know. He had been called by God over this work. And he had the word of God in his mouth. And we needed to stick close and get down and allow God to move the way he wanted to move. We've had all kinds of things throughout these years. Years ago, one of my own brothers, he got blessed in the army and the great revival meetings they had. And so he wanted to have revival meetings among the youth. He was inspired. He meant it well. He came back here. Now, we want meetings for the young people. We don't want any ministers to come to these meetings. We want to have our own meetings. You know, that's not God's way. It's never been God's way here. But the idea simply was, we don't want to come down underneath the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And there have been a lot of frictions along that line. We don't like to fit in to God's way. And we like to go ahead and do things and show who we are. And we know how to move the world and we know how to save souls and we know how to do it. And you know, it never worked out. Always petered out. Didn't work out. But there is a way, and that way is to seek the Lord and to find him. To get to Jesus. And he will work in our hearts as we come close to him, and he'll show us ourselves. That's where we don't like, what we don't like. And we don't like to go very far along that line because it's unpleasant. But when we allow Jesus to show us ourselves, then he shows us himself. And he says, say, you know, I'm the only one that's really able. Why don't you let me do it? Why don't you take me? Why don't you Just lose yourself in myself and let me be everything to you, and you be nothing. That's the way God dealt with my uncle when he came here. The Lord had talked to him. He said, now, let me be you, and you be crucified. Wow. Isn't that a good religion? That's the gospel. That's God's way. Jesus wants to come and live in you and in me. And he wants to live out his life within us. But we don't like to be crucified. We don't like to recognize and let God show us, oh, you're not as wonderful as you thought you were. No, you aren't. I blessed you. And then you take that blessing and you feel good and you feel important. And then you feel as though you can turn the world upside down. And all it is just our, you know, the blessed feeling we get, the enthusiasm that we get, but it's rooted in pride. Oh, say, how we need to follow Jesus. And I want to thank the Lord for that on this day. It's sort of a day of remembering God's goodness to us and his mercy to us. But God has always called our attention to Christ himself and our great need of Jesus. We need him. We need to get down before him. Oh, it's so good for us to get down. When my uncle came here and the meetings began, why, they were known as a free meeting. And we have a free meeting. People are encouraged to let God use them as he wants to. And as soon as that got known, why, boy, we had visitors from all over who wanted to let off their steam and preach their doctrines. And he said, sometimes it seemed like a very free-for-all. One got up, and then the other got up, and the other got up, and one shouted, and the other tried to get everybody to shout. And it's good to shout when the Lord wants you to shout. But they wanted to shout, too. And wanted to show off, and he said, I just didn't know what to do sometimes. And I wanted to get up and say, now stop it. Now let's have order. And then the Lord reminded him, this is not your meeting, this is my meeting. And I want you to believe me. And then a strange thing happened. But God brought quietness over the meeting. People came and just worshiped God, and they felt drawn into a silence. And then those people that liked to blow their trumpets, they felt so out of place, they didn't know what to do with the silence. That's too still for them. So they left. You know, it's like the Swiss, my uncle used to tell the story of the Swiss streetcar conductor. He knew his stuff. You know what he did? They still have streetcars in Switzerland. But there were several women on the car, and one said, open the window. I'm suffocating. There's no oxygen in this place. And so he opened the window, and then another woman began complaining, oh, shut that window. There's such a draft. I'll die. You know what he did? He said, all right, then we'll shut the window until this one dies, and then we'll open it until this one dies, and then we'll have peace. So, you know, it finally turned out all right. But it took time. It took a lot of time and a lot of patience and a lot of faith. And you know, the Lord after a while began to work and began to move, and then he gave his word in great sharpness. Real power, and some people couldn't stand that, and so they didn't show up either. They stayed away. But God got a company of people who wanted Jesus and who wanted his word and who meant business with God. When he spoke to them about their tongues and their loose tongues, why, they prayed about those things. They said, God, we want to be changed. We want Jesus. We want Jesus to rule in us and reign in us. We want him to have his way with us. And they got down and they sought the Lord. And God talked very strongly sometimes, and then he comforted his people. And God did a marvelous work, and he began to sanctify and build up a people that really wanted Jesus and were satisfied just to love him and know him and belong to him and let him work in them and through them. And we never sought for gifts for speaking in tongues and prophesying and the wonderful gifts of the Spirit which we need and which are given to us of God, but we always sought, just Jesus, have your way. Do what you want to do in the meeting. That's the way we came to church, and that's the way my uncle came. He just wanted Jesus to be manifested in every meeting. Whatever kind of a meeting the Lord wanted made no difference to him. And so we had great variety, but Jesus came and ministered to hearts. Oh, thank God. And he did something in the hearts of men and women that made them to realize Jesus is the one we want. Jesus is the one we need. Jesus has begun a good work in us, and we want him to work on and perfect that which concerns us. But it's such a necessary thing for the Lord to deal with each one of us personally and deal with his self-life within us and make us to see how greatly we need to get down at his feet and let Jesus work in us. You know, there are people that never really get through, right through to Jesus. And that's important for us. This Shunammite woman, she would not let Elisha go. She knew he's the man of God. He is the one that stands between God and us and has this ministry given to him by God. And she wasn't satisfied with Gehazi. She didn't like him. I think she could see through him better than Elisha could. When he came to meet her and said, "How are you and how's your family?" and how, she didn't talk to him much. That must have hurt, you know. "Why, don't you know who I am?" She said, "All is well," and went right past him. Oh, that must have hurt his pride. "My, you don't recognize the dignity that has been conferred upon me as the associate of Elisha." She didn't bother about that at all. She went right to him and she said, "I won't go until you go with me." She had a light in her soul where her help came from. Now, we don't need Elisha today. We have Jesus. He is the mediator of the new covenant. But folks, we all need Jesus himself. We need him. We need to have him. We need to find him. We need a living faith in Christ. Have you come to Jesus? Can you honestly say, "I have put my faith in Jesus Christ"? There are a lot of people who are saved to a church. My, it's nice to belong to a nice church. But that won't save you. That won't help you. You may get good teaching. You may get pointed to Jesus, but the only one that can really help you is Jesus. And there are people that were saved to an evangelist. Many people were sort of stuck on my uncle, and he tried his best to point people to Jesus. "I'm not the fountain. I'm not able. I can't do anything but point you to Jesus." He was very faithful in that, wasn't he? And we want to be very faithful in that also. Jesus Christ is the one we all need and the one we can all have. And he is able to save us to the uttermost. He can get right down into these hearts of ours. He knows us. And he knows us not to condemn us, but to save us. There isn't a thing you can hide from him. You can't hide anything in your heart from him. He knows our thoughts afar off. He knows what you think before you think it. He knows. And the wonderful thing is that he loves us. And the wonderful thing is that God has given him to be our Savior. And he alone can really save us. And he can save us through and through. And how we need Jesus. to come closer to Him and find Him. And you know, if you have the Son of God, you have life, John says. And if you don't have the Son of God, you do not have life. No matter who you are, you may be a lively person, but you don't have eternal life unless you know Jesus Christ Himself in a very personal way. And that's been our message, and that's been our desire. And we come together as we have come this evening to worship Him, to worship Him, to open our hearts to Christ, to let Christ speak to us, to let Him deal with us. And oh, He is able for every single one of us. He wants to have His way. And as we yield to Him and say, Lord, I want to be what You want me to be, we have a prayer. We pray, take me as I am and make me what I ought to be, or what You want me to be, or what I should be, spirit and soul and body, regardless of the cost. Now, anyone who prays like that and who really means business with God, God will accept you and mean business with you. And sometimes it costs. As we young ministers, we're going to buy the camp. Oh boy, what a letdown. We all had to come back to Uncle Hans and say, Brother Waldfogel, we just don't have the money to buy this thing, and we'll lose the camp and we'll lose everything unless the Lord does something. Well, we found out that we needed to come under His leadership and His faith and His guidance, and that we couldn't just scoot off, you know. God has put you in the body of Christ too. Maybe there's something in you that likes to be independent. You like to, I'll show them what I can do. You'll soon find out that you can do nothing, really nothing, without Him. We need one another, and we need the love of one another. We need one another's faith. We need to grow together. And God, in His great mercy, sometimes lets us down. I had a man come to me one day, and he said, the Lord let me down. Now, I use that expression, and I don't mean it the way it sounds. He may let us see our need. But this man said, the Lord let me down. I said, brother, you're the first man I've ever spoken to or know of who can say, the Lord let me down. Oftentimes, it appears that way, and then after a while we find that He really loved us too much to let us go our own way, and that His purposes were so wonderful over us that He just didn't let us lose our souls and rise up and be able in ourselves. He didn't let us down, but maybe He got us down, and down at His blessed feet. Oh, say, brother and sister, I would call upon you to get under the yoke. Take His yoke upon you. Let Jesus control your life. Let Him be your Lord. And you know, as you do that, well, you'll have a friend. You'll have a master who has promised to never leave you and never forsake you. And you will find rest unto your soul. And that's what people are looking for, and that's what we're all looking for. Oh, that rest. That freedom from anxiety and fear and care. That freedom from the fear of death and the future. He gives us rest. We find it in Christ. Have you found it? Have you really found Jesus? Oh, let's love Him tonight and serve Him and give ourselves to Him more fully. Say, Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You that You persist in dealing with me and in working in my soul. I want You to sanctify me thoroughly. I want You to cleanse me and make me like Yourself. And that's exactly what He'll do. He'll come and live within us and make us more than conquerors. And then it won't be our doing, won't be that we're wonderful and that we got the staff and we can go around and show what we can do. Oh boy, here's my opportunity. I heard someone speak like that not too long ago. Oh, what a great opportunity God has given me. Now he's going to put his, what do they call that thing anyway? This is imprimatur upon me. And I'm going to be his genuine apostle. God, let them fall down right flat on their nose. He has to. We don't want to be glorified, but we want him to be honored and him to be glorified. We want to get out of his way. And if we mean business, we'll say, Lord, search me. God, help me. I was kneeling next to a minister in one of our meetings some time ago, and he was praying so earnestly. We were all calling on God after the meeting, and he kept saying, Lord, save me from presumptuous sinning. Don't let these sins have dominion over me. And that struck me because, you know, that I had been praying that same prayer in German. The German Bible says, Lord, save me from these proud things. These things that blow me up, that make me think I can get away with it because I'm your child. And I got to in with you. You know how many people think that today? They can sin carelessly because they feel they have a special corner somewhere on the Lord. One sister told me, I've served him 20 years so faithfully. Do you think he's going to mind if I do this little sin? I said, how can you talk like that? How can you talk like that even? If you've been serving him and loving him, that you would trifle with a little sin. But she thought, because she had been so good, we're not saved by works. Not at all. We're saved by the grace of God. And when he saves us, he delivers us from those ideas. And that poor woman, she lost out entirely because of her little sin, you know, that she wanted to do. God would overlook it. No, those are the things David says, God, don't let me do that. Don't let that happen to me. He says there, who can understand his errors? Who can see his own mistakes? Oh God, you search me. Save and keep back your servant from presumptuous sinning. That means just taking, going ahead. Anyway, God will keep us walking softly with him. Oh, let us ask him for that near, as we've been singing, nearer, still nearer. Bring me closer, Lord. Bring me down lower at your feet. Take the pride out of my heart, this spirit within me that doesn't want to obey and doesn't want to get down and doesn't want to really be thoroughly delivered. And God has to, and he does in his great mercy if we follow after him. He's begun a good work and he's going to finish it. And he alone can do it, but every one of us, he has determined we shall be like Jesus. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? Are you willing for that? I think we all are, aren't we? Or if we aren't, we can say, Jesus, like Mr. Meyer, F.B. Meyer, you know him. He's a real saint of God, and we love to read his writings. Somebody gave me one of his writings today. Such a blessed, blessed man. But he wasn't always like that. He was such a smart kid. He had mastered Greek, I think, before he was 14. Just a prodigy, you know, really a genius in these languages and things. And then went into the ministry and was so smart. Such a clever man. Good man. Wanted to do the right thing. And who should come into his church one day but a bunch of cricket players from England. Four of them. Sportsmen. They had a meeting in his church. C.T. Studd was one of them. And he gave his testimony and told how under Moody's preaching he had been saved and changed entirely And he was a very wealthy boy. His parents had cut him off from his inheritance entirely when he went to serve Jesus with all his heart. And so he lost the wealth of the family that he was heir to. But he was so happy that in that meeting, Mr. Meyer, in his church, Mr. Meyer heard him. And he said, I haven't got what he's got. He had a far better education. He said, I don't have what he has. He has freedom in his soul. He has joy. He has Christ. He is satisfied. And I don't have that. And he talked to Mr. Studd after the meeting. And then, you know, he went to his room to pray and call on God. He said, God, I want to give my life to you. I want to give everything to you. And he prayed a long time, and the Lord showed him something in his heart that he hadn't given to God. He hung on to that. That's mine. And he put it like this, that one room in my house, that was my room. I was going to keep that room for myself. The Lord could go into every other room, but that room was mine. And finally, God kept dealing with him, and he said, Lord, I'm not willing to open the door there for you, but I am willing for you to make me willing. That did it. He kept on praying. He said, God, I want you to make me willing. I'm not willing. How many, many people there are who try to hold on to something here or something there, and they're not willing. But he prayed, God, I'm willing for you to make me willing. Won't you do it? And Jesus did. And before the morning dawned, that man was a transformed man. He gave in. He surrendered. He humbled himself. He opened every avenue of his being to Jesus. And Jesus came in. And the river of life is still flowing through that man's writings. He's with the Lord many years now. But, oh, Jesus Christ is wonderful, and he's looking for hearts. He's looking for you. He's looking for us all. And we can say, Jesus, I don't want to be important and big. I don't want to make a name for myself, but I do want to be yours. I do long to be yours. And, Lord, if I'm not willing to get down and slip my head into the yoke, I'm willing for you to make me willing. Break the resistance in me. Help me, Lord, to be altogether yours. Take the pride from my heart, whatever there is that holds me back, and let me be yours. And that's the kind of a Savior we have and the kind of a Savior we proclaim. He will come and do it because he loves us so much. And you'll never be sorry. Oh, Jesus, we want to thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you work in such wonderful ways. You know what we need. You know what every one of us needs. You know our hearts. And you know, Lord, we long for peace. We long for joy. We long for fellowship with yourself. And we've tried to find it on our own terms in many instances. We want to come on your terms, Lord. We want to really bow before you. Oh, Jesus, help us to get down. Help us to be willing to get down. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be willing to learn the lessons that you want us to learn. We pray that you'll cleanse our hearts from all those things that grieve you and that defile them. Oh, God, we pray that our hearts shall be clean dwellings in which you can come and exercise your authority and dwell within in all your fullness. We know you're working to that end. Cleanse us, we pray thee. Purify us. Take us, Lord, tonight. Oh God, if there are those here who have not really found peace and not really surrendered their lives fully to you, we pray that tonight you will give grace, Lord, to each one to say, Jesus, have your way. Jesus, we pray that you will give that grace tonight, Lord, that hearts may be set free, And hearts may enter into a real joy of the Lord and knowledge of the Lord and walk with the Lord and be victorious because Christ is victorious in them. We pray that we shall be willing to be crucified to the world and the affections and the lusts and all that pertains to the flesh. Lord, we pray that we shall rise up and let you rise up within us and have your way with us entirely. Teach us, Lord. We want to thank you for your great love to us and your presence that you have manifested so persistently throughout the years, Lord. You've been so true to us. And we thank you that you're still working tonight. And we pray, my God, that you will yet find, Lord God, an abundant harvest for all the prayers and all the ministry of the Holy Ghost throughout the years. Amen.